And no, this is not Pastor Jim with a dark tan. Amen. This is Pastor Tim. And I know we share the same hairstyle. Amen. I had mine first. Yeah, I was first. But in Pastor Jim's absence, I want to honor him and his lovely wife and his family here today. Can you put your hands together for your pastor? Amen. Amen. I thank God for my brother, and I'm glad they had a successful trip. I'm praying for their safety on the way back home. Give it up for Brother Josh. Amen. I know his plight. I know his fight. And I thank God for people like him that have a heart for worship, have a heart for ministry. A lot of people get up here and they just want the stage. But you can't have this stage without having the right heart first. And I just thank God. Josh is funny. I'm looking at him, I'm like, man, oh man, oh man. Just his energy alone, amen, is going to save a few people. His energy alone, amen, is going to push this church to the next level. So I'm glad you're here, bro. And he's talented. Yeah, he's so talented that he gets on my nerves. But, you know, that's, you know, he's a music geek. Simple and plain. And that's what Trinity needs. You need somebody that knows what they're doing. And he's definitely qualified there. Amen. So today, I have a few short words for you. Amen. I think we'll be done in the next 20, 25 minutes. Amen. Nelson is going to come up after me. You know, he likes to talk long. He's a talker. So I saved about a half hour for him. But on today, the Lord was just dealing with my heart about having courage. Amen. And I'm just really going to get straight to it today, because I doubt if I preach the same like I preached in the morning service. I got a few things that's similar. But I have never done anything the same in my life. I'm just that kind of guy. It's got to be different. It's got to be better, because we serve a God. Amen. That is ever, he's always the same, but we are not. He doesn't show up the same way every time. And so on today, Numbers chapter 14, I want to read this to you. And just remember, I'm talking about courage today. I'm talking about courage. I want to read this to you because what God is doing in the body of Christ, shaking some things up, and I'm sure, you know, even Stevie Wonder could see that. He's shaking some things up. And you can wake up tomorrow morning and look at the news and be like, wait, what? That's the kind of world we are living in today. Am I right? You could look down on your phone while I'm preaching and be like, oh my goodness. Am I right about it? That's the world we live in today. But God is trying to make his people aware. And as he is making them aware, he is making them ready. And in order for us to get ready, a lot of times being ready comes from being repentive first. Being repentive. Let me help you understand where I'm coming from. A lot of times we get caught up in the average, the everyday, the mundane, the menial task of everyday life. And it is very easy to miss God because we already have made our own appointments and our own agenda. Are you hearing me, somebody? Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, how do I hear God? How do I know what's happening? How do I know what's next with God? And God puts us in a position where he said, first, you must seek me. You must do the seeking. You must be the one that is reaching out. You must be the one that is knocking on my door. You must be the one that's doing the asking first. And see, a lot of us, you know, we've been saved for a long time. Amen. We've been church people for a long time. We've been Jesus lovers for a long time. But even us, after seeing miracle, after seeing signs, after seeing wonders, after seeing the amazing breakthroughs that God have done in our own life, we can still get lost. We can still get complacent. Mm-hmm. And we can forget about what the real mission truly is. What the real mission is. I want to read the scripture so I can move on and just tell you what I got to say. And maybe some of you can still make the beach. Amen. All right. Numbers 14 and chapter, somebody said amen. All right. Then Moses chapter 14 and verse 5. And I like to read from the New Living Translation first, just so I can understand the thus and thous, and then I go deeper. But I have the New Living Translation right here. Verse 5 says, then Moses and Aaron fell down on their face on the ground before the whole community of Israel, which was probably around that time at least 5 million people. Okay, can you imagine that? 5 million people, you know, and just being spread out. You think Live Aid was something, huh? Yeah. Two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of, don't make me do it again, huh? Thank you, Josh. Jephunneh. We'll take that? Okay. Tore their clothes. Verse 7, it says, they said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is rich. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 9. Listen to this. Do not rebel against the Lord. And don't be what? Afraid. Don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. Ooh, that is some big talk right there. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. Can I keep reading? I wanted to stop there. I stopped there in the first service, but I want you to keep reading with me just a little bit longer, because I want you to see the attitudes forming of the so-called church people. Okay? Verse 10, but look, the whole community began to do what? Talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. Man, oh man. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to all. You can tell it's serious because God had to show up on their behalf. That's when you know you were in an uh-oh situation. All right? Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to all the Israelites at the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me, not Joshua and Caleb, but how long will they treat me with contempt? Will they never believe me? Believe what? That I already made a promise to you. I'm coming off the page right now. I already made a promise to you that the land that is flowing with milk and honey, silver and gold, plenteous and riches and minerals, whatever you need, belongs to you. He said, man, oh man. He said, even after all, what? The miraculous signs I have done among them. This is how Maddie is in verse 12. I will disown them and destroy them with a plague. Then I will make you into a nation greater and mightier than they are. Mm-hmm. I only wanted you to see the vastness of this situation because as the people of God, I believe that we have fallen short in taking possession of what God said already belongs to us. We have to come away from the mindset of wanting to walk hand in hand with the government, hand in hand with the world, hand in hand with society, and thinking that we can just go along and get along. When every one of our enemies wants to take our heads off. You wake up in the morning, and if you really don't know God, if you're really not filled with the Holy Ghost, you will just go about your day not knowing that the devil has a plan to kill you. You will think that you are okay because you are breathing, not understanding that the very breath that's in your body, it comes from the Lord, and that it comes with an agenda from God that you would stand up and that you would be accounted for in the Lord's army to take a purposeful stand against every one of the enemies of God. And so the church, we have fallen short. We have come away. We've come short of understanding that God does not want to make friends. He did not come here to try to make peace with Al-Qaeda, the Taliban. He did not come for peace treaties. He came for one reason only: thy kingdom come and thy will be done. And unless you come up with the attitude every morning that God wants to take over, you need to go back to bed again because you've missed it. Jesus has one agenda: that he be glorified, not just in these four walls, not just in the four walls of your home, but that he be glorified in every area in all of the earth. And he said, listen, I'm not mad at the world. I'm not mad. Sinners going to do what sinners do. Am I right, man? Sinners do what? They're on their job. Matter of fact, you could applaud them. They're doing a good job at it. Yes, they're doing a great job. Sinners are doing a great job. The world is doing a great job at being the world. Everything that Jesus said would happen, guess what? It is happening. All of the corruption is happening. All the poor political agendas, it is happening. Father against son, mother against daughter, it is happening. Abortions, it is. Same-sex marriage. Children being rebellious to their parents. We can go on and on down that list, right? That's not our agenda. That was just to inform you of what it would look like when things start getting tight, when things start coming down to the bare road where Jesus said, listen, we have to get some things together in order for me to come back for a church without spot or a wrinkle. Jesus gave you the picture of what the outside world is going to look like. But he said, on the inside, in the church, in Zion, I need my people to remember what my agenda is. And my agenda is not to hold hands with the enemy. My agenda is not to say, well, it's okay if we just let a little bit of, you know, of sin into our school, a little bit of the homosexual agenda into our classroom. It's okay if we have some abortions. And listen, we are going to have to separate our thinking from the world's way of thinking. And we are going to have to reevaluate our position as brothers and sisters in Christ and as children of the Most High God. See, a lot of the problem is that, you know, when you see all this Black Lives Matter and all that's going on, The real problem with that, Jen, is not that we don't think Black Lives Matter. is that we don't really love our brother as ourselves. And God say, I'm tired of it. How are we calling ourselves the church and our left hand can't even communicate with our right hand? Yeah, no way in the world Jesus coming back for that bride. And so we have been set up. It's a grand scheme of the Holy Ghost that all this would happen in the year of 2020. So that the people of God would have their eyes open to, wait a minute, okay, I can see it's time for me to tighten up here. It's time for me to really love like God says to love. It's time for me to listen, put everything on the line. What's it going to matter what your bank account looks like when Jesus cracks that sky? What will your legacy be? When you have to stand before God and say, I did what? Fill in the blank. I was faithful in what? Fill in the blank. So God is commissioning us all. Amen. God is commissioning us. Come on up, brother. I'm almost finished here. God is commissioning us all not to just go and tell the whole world about the love of Jesus Christ, not just to save souls, because we've been on that kick for a long time. We got to save souls. We got to save souls. We got to save souls. But God is on this, that we must go into every area of the world, putting roots down in both political and the educational system, entertainment system. He wants us to take over every area and place our mark so that the world will know that Jesus Christ lives, that Jesus Christ still has all power, that Jesus Christ reigns and he rules. And he wants to do it with you. You know, Nelson, as long as I've been affiliated with your ministry, I've always known you to have great outreaches. Never hesitant to lend a hand. And that's wonderful. But Josh, did you know that in the church, churches everywhere, not just in America, did you know that most of the work gets done by 10% of the people? Think about that. Most of the work in the church gets done by 10% of the people. Think about that. We have people that walk through those doors every day and never lift a hand to push ministry forward. Satisfied with being settled in a seat. Satisfied with, Jesus says, hearing only. But where are my Bible students at that know that faith without works is what? Dead. And God wants to use us. There used to be a song that says, ordinary people. God uses ordinary people. And so, Jen, we really have got to get the dream and the desire and the passions out of our heart, onto the paper, into the lives of people everywhere. We've got to get it out. There's no more time to waste. There's no more waiting around. There's no more saying, I need this, I need that, I need a few more singers, I need a few more evangelists. There's no more time for that. God is calling on each and every one of us to take courage. Faith is not what you need. Faith is not what you need. The Bible says you were given faith. Isn't that something? Jesus eliminated all excuses. The Bible says you were given faith. But what we need in the body of church is courage. It takes courage to go down to the school board and say, I object to this agenda. It takes courage to write letters to your congressmen and your senators and your political leaders to say, I object to this system that's not working. I object to the way people are getting turned down for health care and the medical needs. I object. Somebody's got to go to those meetings. And you know who we want to go? It's the next person. It's somebody else's job. I advise you, figure out when the next board meeting is in your town. Most of us don't even know who's on our council. I had to look it up myself. But it's our time to step in. Pastor Jim, Jen, they've got their job here. Their job is in the church. But it is our job to hold up the vision of the man and the woman of God and to make sure when we step outside of these doors that we're not waiting for something or someone else to do what God called us to do. So I want to encourage you with this. How much time do I have, Josh? 5 minutes? I don't want nobody talking about me after I leave, though. That Pastor Tim, he's a nice guy, but he is a talker. I want to I met someone in the Word of God as I was studying that caught my eye. Let me share this with you. I only got a few minutes left. His name is Ani Forrest. Okay, there it is. I'm gonna learn how to read one of these days. Anis Forrest. Aniferous. Okay. We're gonna go with that one. Now I want to tell you who this gentleman was. I met him in Timothy. Paul was talking about when they wanted to stone him and they wanted to put him in jail, and he was in jail. He said, he called for him. He said, we're going to call him Ani, okay? Ani was there. You don't hear him mentioned anywhere else in the Word of God. He said, Ani was there to encourage me when everyone else left me. Talk about the Apostle Paul. He said, even when they locked me up, he came to the prison to see about my needs. This was a man. It doesn't tell anything about his talent. Doesn't tell anything about what skill he had. All it says is that he was an encourager of the Apostle Paul. There when somebody needed to hold down the fort. There when somebody was needed to make sure everything was going right when the apostle could not be there. And when I thought about it, it almost brought tears to my eyes, Jen. When I think about what we go through sometimes as pastors and ministers, how sometimes we just wish if one person would be there to understand, one person would be there to confide in, to hold up our hands
as we preach this gospel, as we teach the word of God, I want to just, if you would just oblige me today, there is a space and a place for everyone to fit in. Even if it's just like Ani here, who would encourage the men and women of God who are on the front lines. No longer can we hide and say, well, I really don't have the kind of talent that Josh has, or I can't speak like Pastor Jim. None of that stuff matters. The Bible says we all have gifts. We all have talents. And this is what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy. He said, Timothy, I know you're concerned about your age. I know you're concerned about what people will think. I know you're concerned about the message that you're bringing and how confrontational it is. But I need you to get over yourself, stir up the gift that is on the inside of you, and get out there and preach the word. We're talking about a young man that was said to be 16, 17 years old. Some of us have never, ever even witnessed, told somebody about their salvation. Some of us have never even went next door to the neighbors we wave to every day and ask them, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Saints, maybe you might not know what to say, but let me tell you what you can do. Call one of your spiritual leaders and say, listen, I would love to witness to my neighbor. Can you come with me? Can you show me how? Here it goes. Maybe you do know what to say, but you're afraid to say it. No worries. Get that pen to a paper. Write them a letter. Ask them. There is a way to get it done. But we do not have a lot of time left in which to get it done. Change your mindset and understand that we are not serving a God that is just trying to sit around. We don't mind worshiping and singing the songs or whatever. We got to do some of that because people wouldn't come. People wouldn't come. But what you need to understand, you need to get the mindset of more of we are in a military structure. And that God has ordained you to share this gospel everywhere that you go. And the answer is yes, sir. Yes, sir. There's no, sir. There's yes, sir. Yes, sir. All day long. Ask God, what is next for my life? If you think you're done, then I feel sorry for you because you're missing the vision. Grandparents, sit your grandchildren down. Share the gospel. Parents, put the word of God in your children's heart. Well, they don't listen to me. Well, that doesn't mean that you can't still say it. There's a work to be done. Pastor Jim, what can I do? Maybe next time I can head the trip up to the Bahamas so that you don't have to go, that you can stay, take care of other things in ministry. Come on, y'all. Those with deep pockets, what do we need to build? What ministry helps? Can we help add to the church? Christ is soon to come. We don't need to leave anything left to be undone. So straighten up. Stir up the gift on the inside of you. Stir up the gift.
In one translation, it said, fan those flames so that they burn bright. I'm done. I wish you would. Can you stand with me for one moment? It can't be business as usual. We have to have a greater understanding of not where we are, but where God is going. Don't be that guy like, oh, I didn't know. I had no idea. Let me help you out. If you don't know, get with people who do. That's the reason why God said in Ephesians 4, I give you pastors and evangelists and apostles and teachers and prophets. Because maybe you're not hearing God properly. Maybe you might need a little bit of help. Grab on to your spiritual leaders, your elders, coattails, and say, what do you believe God is doing next? Where do you believe I need to shift in my life? See, that's a humble person that can admit, I need a little bit of help. And we all do. Pastor Tim has a pastor. Pastor Tim has a pastor. I'm not the end-all be-all to the gospel. We all must come in order, under authority. Amen. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, stir up this message on the inside, the hearts of your children on today. God, let no one sit on their dreams. God, let no one procrastinate any longer. But God, help us to be totally saturated in the will of God. God, light a fire in the hearts of your children on tonight. God, I admit I've been doing business as usual. God, forgive us in the name of Jesus. Just ask God to forgive you. If you know that's you, that you've been just going along. But today, God, I want new life on the inside of me. God, I want the fires to burn brighter on the inside of me. And for those of you who have been faithful, for those of you who have been walking in the will of God, I pray for a new strength, a new strategy, a new energy, a new power to envelop you in the name of Jesus, that you won't be weary in well-doing, that the joy of the Lord will be your strength. That you'll walk with your head held up high, knowing that God before you, the world, no one in the world can be against you. God, we ask this blessing on your people on today. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say amen.